Let us pray. Our gracious, kind, and loving Heavenly Father, for the joys of life and the beauty of this day, for health and strength, and the will to serve Thee, we give thanks. We're grateful for the call with which Thou hast called us to work in Thy vineyard, and we thank Thee for the privilege of sharing with others in the tasks to which Thou hast set our hands. We are grateful for the fellowship of Christians, for the knowledge of the love of Christ, and for the vision which challenges us daily to higher endeavor. Deliver us, we pray, from all arrogance and pride that may relate to the service which we offer Thee, and cause us to remember always that we are servants, given to the work of ministry and the blessing of lives in the world in which we find ourselves. May we never think first of ourselves, but first of Thee and of others, and give ourselves gracefully and with grace to the work which You have given us to do with gratitude for the opportunity and with deep commitment in faith and loyalty to be good servants of Thine through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us hear the reading of the lesson as it is found in the 20th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. The kingdom of heaven is like a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, you go into the vineyard too. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the householder, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day in scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge me my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first last. We read recently about the man down in Miami, Florida, who sued his church in the court of law on the basis that he had been deceived and defrauded by his church. He said that his pastor had preached that if he would tithe, the Lord would bless him. And on the basis of the promise from his pastor and the encouragement of his church, he withdrew $800 from his savings account and deposited it in the storehouse of the Lord. He said that as a result of that investment, he did not receive the forthcoming and promised rewards, that he had been deceived and defrauded, and he wanted his $800 back. Now, when we read that little story, I suppose that most of us smiled a little. There's a humorous twist to it, and yet there's not so much humor in it. It's too true of too much of contemporary American Protestantism to be funny. As a matter of fact, it's probably so true of much of all religious engagement that it lacks humor when we reflect upon it. Because even in the Old Testament, the psalmist reflects something of the Hebrew mentality when he talks about the fact that he was not able to understand it when he looked about him and saw the wicked prospering, their eyes standing out with fatness, practicing violence, being corrupt, speaking against the Lord. And he said, I was not taught that it would be that way. I was taught that the righteous would prosper and the wicked would be punished. Yes, it was a tenet of the Hebrew faith that prosperity was a sign of God's blessing and that suffering or difficulty was a sign of God's punishment upon mankind. And the psalmist summed the whole thing up by saying, when I sought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Now, the story from the Gospel of Matthew reflects a kind of an attitude toward religion and in our own day toward Christianity, which is too often typical of our religious engagement. And as a matter of fact, if you read the story in its context, you discover immediately what Jesus was talking about. Because when you go back into the 19th chapter, you hear Peter saying to Jesus, Lord, we have left everything and followed you. What are we going to get out of it? What are we going to get out of it? You know, this parable, or the story that Jesus told, is interesting because sometimes it has been interpreted to indicate or teach that there is something in man that makes him want to put off to the very last moment any decision about his religious commitment, but that somehow or another God in his grace finds it to allow a man even on his deathbed to repent and come into the kingdom if he will do so. But you see, this story doesn't have anything to do with deathbed repentance. It's not talking about a man who waits until the last years or moments of his life to make a decision about his religious commitment. This story is talking about the attitudes of people who are working in God's kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who went out to hire laborers to work in his vineyard, and the people who were working in the vineyard were the master's servants. And the significant thing about the story is that when these people went to work in the vineyard, they went with full understanding of what was expected of them and what was involved. The first group went on contract, a penny a day, a day's wage for a day's labor. That was the contract to which they agreed. And those who went out about the third and the sixth and the ninth hour went out in faith. I'll treat you right. I'll give you what is right. You can depend on me. And those who went out at the 11th hour went out purely on faith, trusting the owner of the vineyard, because he just said, you go work in the vineyard. And they went. But when the payoff time came, and those who went to work at the 11th hour received a full day's wage, those who went to work that morning expected that they should receive more. But when their turn came, they received exactly that for which they had contracted. And they grumbled and complained. And the master said to them, I have not defrauded or deceived you. I've paid off according to the contract. Aren't you satisfied? You see, Jesus was talking about the way people who work in God's kingdom think about others who work in God's kingdom, and perhaps even about those outside who do not work in the kingdom. Now let's jump across the centuries, the gap of history, and find ourselves today. It's so easy for us Christians to look around in our world and wonder how it is that the wicked or the unrighteous or the unchristian can be so well off, just like the psalmist reflected upon it not long ago. Here are those folks who drive their Cadillac automobiles and live in mansions and have life easy, and they never seem to hurt or to have difficulty or pain and sorrow and trouble. And yet they disregard any vestige of religion. They think nothing of God. They have little concern for the church. And yet, so often we folks who try to do right and live pure don't get along so well. We can get a little bit closer home than that, though. We sometimes look at each other with envious and critical eye. It's so easy to wonder why that fellow got so much better church than I did. I'm just as smart as he is and have just as much right to be the pastor of that big first church. Or even to say, how in the world can it be that God gave somebody else so much more intelligence than he gave me? It's easy to look at others and compare ourselves with them, with what they have and what they've received, and wonder why we didn't get just as much. And if not careful, we can become critical and jealous of those who seem to have more than we do. We've been so faithful, we've worked for the Lord. We've given him our loyalty and our devotion. He owes us something, doesn't he? Well, what do we get out of it? Listen to the answer that Jesus gave Peter. He said, "You're going to get out of it just about what everybody else gets. You'll have houses and lands. You'll have your earthly rewards. But you see, those earthly rewards, the paying off in kind, that does not come as a payoff for spiritual commitment or spirituality or service. God doesn't pay off in the material things of this world for spiritual devotion and loyalty. Yes, he said, you'll get houses and lands just like other people do. Well, we work for such things as that. We get our rewards in terms of energy expended and that to which we give ourselves. But Jesus said to Peter, you'll get more than that. He talked about sitting on thrones of judgment. He talked about a fellowship. Well, now let's look at the thing both negatively and positively for a moment. On the negative side of it, what do we not get? If we go into the work of God's kingdom with an eye on what we're going to get out of it, and if we're looking with critical, jealous, or envious eye at other people, either in God's kingdom or out in the world, well, for one thing, we do not get a knowledge of, an understanding of, and deep and meaningful relationship to God. You see, the workers in the vineyard had the joy and the privilege of working for God in God's work. And those who complained and criticized and grumbled lost their opportunity. They were eliminated because they were not in sympathy with and did not understand the nature and work and purpose of the master for whom they worked. They did not know him. And I think what is suggested there is that no man can know God, understand God, have a deep and meaningful relationship with God, as long as he is looking at other people with critical or envious or jealous eye, as long as he is looking about him, comparing himself with others and others with himself. We stand under the judgment and in relationship to God. Our commitment is to God. Our service is to God. On the negative side, we just do not find God with all the meaning and reality that he is available to us if we don't look at others in the right spirit. On the positive side, what do we get? Well, we get the joy of working in God's kingdom. For one thing, the sheer joy, the inner peace of mind and spirit, the fellowship of workers in God's kingdom, the deep assurance that we are God's, that we belong to him, and that God's grace has been bestowed upon us. Do you know that's what this parable is about? When the master said to the grumbling workers, "What's the matter? Can't I do what I want to with my own? Do you begrudge me my generosity?" He was saying, in effect, "I am bestowing upon those who have worked with me and for me my generosity, my grace." And every human being of us needs grace every day. We need grace from God and grace from one another. And those first hour workers didn't know anything much about grace. No, we cannot, if we go into the work of God's kingdom, only for what we expect to get out of it, and are always comparing ourselves and looking at others to see whether we're getting what we deserve, we can't see God as we ought. And we don't see other people as we ought. And we don't see ourselves as we ought. The simple truth of the parable is that God is God, and we have to let Him be God. And if God's grace is God's grace, we just have to receive it in the way in which He bestows it. We have no priorities on God. We cannot box God up in a corner and make Him do what we want Him to do. If there's anything that we have from God, it's what He bestows upon us of His free grace. And you know, I think that ought to give us a different way of looking at and thinking about our work, not just as preachers. I'm not just talking about preachers. I'm talking about Christians, all Christians, because we are all chosen of God to work in His vineyard. And if we work, we ought to work for the sheer joy of working. Let us pray. Gracious Father, for the joy of working in Your kingdom, we give You thanks with a prayer that Thou wilt help us to keep our hearts pure, to keep our eyes single, to think first of all of Thee and of the service which Thou dost call us to offer to Thee and to one another. And give us, we pray, humble and simple hearts to do the work to which Thou hast set our hands. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and always.